You may be seated. All right, let's move into the essence of our discourse, dissertation that we have been laboring in now, 4-year period. Almost. Everyone repeat after me, scripture distinctions, actualization by God's decree in eternity, from manifestation in time. In other words, we are distinguishing, dealing with, differentiating the difference between what's real and what's not real. The essence of the actualized state of things, which all reside in God's decree. As we left off last week, repeat after me, it's in the saying, not the seeing. In other words, things reside, are actualized, are real in essence of them having been sourced out of God saying it. What God decreed. That's the actual. The residue is what's up on the matrix. Everybody say the matrix. The essence of what God has said is conveyed in light, as the light, remember what we closed last week, dealing with the essence of God actually emitting light, not dwelling in it. And everything that's up on the matrix is there for testimony purpose. It is solely there for testimony purpose. It's the only reason it's there is that God is speaking to us. He doesn't have to prove anything to himself by showing it. The showing comes in testimony of the same. All right, in addition to that, we're going to go to part 4. Everybody repeat after me. Viewing the temporary worldly from the eternal heavenly. In other words, we're looking at the world from heaven. We're looking down at it instead of around in it. You all remember slogans. Everybody said, we're looking down instead of around. Somebody walk out here, remember that. Let's go to page 93. Bottom of it. Now there are ushers, heads up. There might be a few that don't have the document there. Part 4, there's some. In fact, I put some more on the back table. I want everybody, you won't be able to really follow us if you don't have the document. Heads up. Raise your hand if you need one. Part 4. Elder Nickerson is our designated reader. Everyone turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Our focus is on verse 3. Now, Elder, I want you to start reading from the first verse. The first and second verse is more familiar to everyone. The first and second verse you've heard over and over again. And I've often wondered, why don't I go to verse 3? Why don't I ask 1 and 2?
Right.
And don't go to verse 3. Now, if we will see this morning, that verse 1 and 2 is explicated, are explained by verse 3. Without verse 3, you don't have a repeat thought. You have something that has not been completely conveyed to the point that it gives the true enlightenment of the context. One of the things Pastor always taught us, say, you know, go up a few verses, go down a few verses. In this case, you got to go down. You can't stop at 1 and 2. And I've heard those two verses preached in some every type of spontaneous thought in relationship to physicality. Paul mentions physicality only to the end that we will understand that it is nothing but reflections, like in a mirror, of that which is reflected. All right, everybody got Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, say amen. All right, reader, read. Yeah, you can go from the King James verse, and then, because we're going to come and clean it up.
Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Mm-hmm.
For by it the elders obtain a good report.
See, that's not, Paul didn't say that. It's not what Paul said. Why we go to the Greek? Go to the Greek because basically it gives the actual utterance of what it's saying. Now what elders could Paul have been talking about to say they obtained a good report? Then they go on down into the 11th chapter and they come up with, you see, when you start there and you use that as a basis and a thought. Now you're down here into the 11th chapter calling people heroes. You know, the proverbial heroes of faith. If you look through the Bible, every last one of these men did some good things, but then what happened to them later? They did some bad things. What's the difference? The difference is God overruled their depravity. When they were doing good, the old folks said it right. When you see me walking right, what?
God's using me.
God's using me. When you see me acting like, God forbid, some of you over the years probably have caught me in the wrong day and the wrong time, and said, Pastor, y'all look at me strange. I can say the same about you. The difference is that everything that is in us that is good, God must work it in us.
Amen.
For it is He, God, who worketh within us what?
To will
and to do of His good pleasure. That thing is good. God's doing it. And somebody, you know, anybody around here won't get upset with me and say, you never give nobody credit. You always say, give the Lord a hand, praise for Him.
Amen. That's right.
Why do we do that? Because if it's good, you wouldn't be doing it if the Lord didn't cause you to do it.
That's right.
So He gets the credit. And what's wrong with God getting all the credit?
That's it.
No.
Amen.
All right. Keep going.
Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word.
That's
the Word of God.
That they use that word Keep reading.
So that things which are seen were not made to appear.
Okay, now, that's the reason why the things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. That's why they never touched that third verse. Because Paul lost them. But the answer is this, if you exegete this, what is exegesis? Use the threefold method of scrutinizing for the purpose of interpreting what is actually said. We do that with context, which we're doing now. We're aligning these so that it's one thought. Historically, we're looking and we're seeing that this is the writings of our beloved Apostle Paul. So we're talking which covenant? The grace covenant. And if we're in the grace covenant, we're not bragging about anybody doing anything but God. So right away, when it looks like somebody's getting some glory beside God, you say, well, no, Paul didn't say that. And then lastly, we go to the grammar. These portions of these letters that Paul wrote, they were in Greek. The Greek grammar. And yes, we deal with the moods, the tenses, the cases, the number, the gender. Then we align all of these. And as Pastor used to say, if you can get those three to align, you're pretty close on target as to what is conveyed. Because we're not about to explain something until we know what it's saying. Because if you come up with the wrong saying, you're gonna be explaining something that's not there. Wrong exegesis, wrong explication. And this is why we have so many different variations of denominations and doctrines and all over the place. Because we have not come up with the correct saying. All right, let's go to the Greek. Greek interlineal.
Greek context.
Mm-hmm.
Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
Now is faith of things being hoped, the reality of things, the proof not being seen.
Now see, that's even a little different there, isn't it? Reality is a little stronger than evidence, isn't it? Because evidence can be what? Tampered with it, faulty. But this is the evidence of so and so. How many times the science have said, this is evidence of this, and then they come back and change it? What happened to that evidence? It got blown away. Because it was faulty. Verse 2.
By this,
mm-hmm.
for obtaining witnesses,
now,
the elders.
You see that? You see that difference there? And that Greek word there, and just indulge me for a second. The Greek word there is ibarte, reap. The son. MIT read the son. It's in the past. Brother Deacon, you got your, I already got it out. All right. Keep it out, Brother Deacon. Tell us what that is.
It's an aorist indicative passive.
It's in the aorist tense. It's in the passive voice. How can he be saying the elders obtained something and it's in the passive voice? What's the passive voice?
It's done to you.
Done to you. I hear people talk about people's salvation. So and so got saved as you reached out and said, come here, salvation. Oh, I got it.
Oh,
helpful. Mm. One thing you can do is what? receive salvation. So in certain instances, the elders, what? They received a good report. Big difference, isn't it? I heard this preaching, then they go down and they run through verse 3. No, my God. Then they get down there and they start talking about heroes. Yep, we don't use that word around here. Unless we're talking about the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank God.
Hero come too close to idol.
Oh yes.
Says so and so is my idol. Don't you ever say that. Unless you're talking about the Lord. Alright, let's go to verse 3. Are you with me?
By faith, we understand to have been adjusted the ages by a word of God, so as not out of things appearing, the things being seen, to have become.
It tells me the actual reading, pisti. Naomi, katatis fe, toast, emos, royalty, fem. That word for word is that what is being said is by faith.
Come on.
Because now we're going to come up with what is either locative or instrumental. It's both. Because here, this is the faith that is conveyed for us to comprehend. Another verse we're going to get to, not today, 1 Corinthians 1:27, speaks about the things, them, the weak things and the foolish things. He confounds the wise, the base things that men despise. God chose those things to bring to naught things that not are. And also it speaks of, in that context, that God conveys in revelation is spiritual. Because natural man cannot understand what's in, actually he can't even understand what's on the matrix. And he surely can't understand what's in God's decree except what? God reveals it. God reveals it. So natural man can understand the things of God because they're what? They are spiritually discerned. So here we're talking about the faith that is imparted unto us. Not by just looking out, and we deal with this in the conference, not just by looking out into the cosmos and say, whoa, God is real. God must be real, because so now you're going to prove the existence of God through physicality. No, you don't. The things of God must be revealed to us. They are spiritually discerned. In other words, it goes from spirit to spirit. The Holy Spirit communicates with your spirit.
Yes. Thank God.
That's how you understand. That's why Tim can be there. We can preach. Somebody, anybody can be preaching. And then three of them will say, oh, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. And Tim said, they're crazy. What's the difference?
The revelation
of God for his purposes.
Yes.
He has given enlightenment to the three. The three are not smarter than the other seven.
No.
So if you understand this thing, as we've been saying for years, don't say thank you, ministers. Say thank you, Holy Spirit. Because if you comprehend this, it's because God has spoken to you. Now notice in the grammatical structure here, we have pisti naomin katatiste. Katatiste, it is a verb, infinitive. What's an infinitive?
Verbal noun.
What's a noun?
Name, place, person, thing.
It's the verb, so here you got something naming, an action word that's naming something, but also is doing something while it's naming something. Brother Deacon, tell us what tense that's in.
Perfect.
The perfect tense. What's the perfect tense?
Completed action.
It's a completed action. Completed action. Completed action. That Greek word is translated made or completed. God's not making up things day to day.
No.
Hear me this morning. Whatever is going on up there that pops up on that matrix, it's the eternal desire of God.
Yes.
So that you don't shake in your boots when you see it.
Oh.
And even though we may not understand it, the Holy Spirit will let us know that it's done by God's desire for purpose. Everybody say purpose. Say it again. God's purpose. Do you trust Him this morning? That whatever is shaking, God has a reason for it. Do you trust Him to do His will?
Yes.
That's what trusting God really means. And faith really means, trusting to do His will.
Said,
so I'm trusting God. I'm trusting God for $1,000. No, you're trusting to do your will.
That's right.
Because if the $1,000 is not in the creek, guess what?
It's
not going to manifest. And see, these are the things that we must understand, because we don't know what's out there in life that may pop up.
Right.
And we want to rejoice in the God of our salvation every day.
Thank you.
And we don't rate God upon how well we think He responds to what we ask Him for. I remember some years ago, and I don't say this lightheartedly because my heart went out for those people. Remember the guys that were in the mine? I'm not talking about recently. This was some years ago. And they were praying in the church, and the false report came out that they had been rescued. They were safe. They were alive. And boy, they were saying glory. Oh, they were just singing, "How great thou art! How great thou art!" Then it came to light that report wasn't correct. Somebody saw something up on the matrix, but from the angle they were looking at it, y'all gonna hear me this morning. And so when it came to light from the better angle that the men had perished, some of those same people who were seeing how great they are began to curse. We coming from? Is God good because of something that you have, or that you think you have, or something that you've asked Him for, and something that you feel is a blessing through the essence of Him having given it to you? In other words, are you rating God based upon things, upon physicality? Are we real because God is God? He's good if He gives it to me.
Yes.
He's good if He's not, because His goodness was never based upon whether I get it or whether I don't.
Yes.
Huh?
Come on,
even in the Old Testament, the Lord checked Job depravity to the end where you said what?
The Lord Jesus.
Hmm?
And the Lord take it away.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm?
Amen.
And he's good in the way.
Good in the way. Amen. Thank you.
Good in him.
The Lord is good within himself.
Mm-hmm.
What are you talking about?
Thank you,
Jesus. Think outside the box.
That's right.
Think outside your little situation.
Come on.
And we're going to deal with this in the conference.
Mm-hmm.
You're on the earth, which is a little dot. Way before the earth, before you even get to that part, you know, we thank God that we God is no bigger to us than our circumstances. And here we are, a little old dot called the earth. Because we compare it with even the other planets. It's small. It's infinitesimal. Our problems in relationship to the whole gamut of who God is are infinitesimal. The essence of our life is not about the things that are around us. The essence of our life is Christ.
Christ.
In eternity,
mm-hmm.
before time,
that's right.
before he ever placed us in these vile, depraved bodies, he put us in the body of Christ.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I tell you what's most ringing for every child of God,
mm-hmm.
and for all those that may hear this. Go to the first chapter of Ephesians.
Mm-hmm.
In verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Having blessed us with what? Each and every spiritual blessings. Where? In the heavens. Where the heavens? In Christ. If he knew it was anything else. Oh my God. That's beneficial for the soul that never made it here.
Mm-hmm.
To the one that was even aborted.
That's right.
That is the lake.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you don't think none of the lake were ever aborted?
No.
Through miscarriage? Even if it was through the acts?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
God's the lake are everywhere. Everywhere.
That's right.
God's elect are everywhere. God's people are everywhere.
That's right.
The little baby that only lived 100 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
The tot at 3 years old that ran out in front of a car.
Mm-hmm.
Was run over and killed.
Mm-hmm.
The 10-year-old. The 30-year-old.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Hmm? The one that lived to be 100.
Yeah.
All of these lives were coursed according to God's purpose. And he didn't do any one of them any more blessing or less blessing than the other. Because if they are the elect,
mm-hmm.
they were provided for,
mm-hmm.
placed in the body of Christ,
mm-hmm.
in eternity.
Yeah.
Always have been there.
Always.
We're in Christ right now. Verse 4, according as he did what? Chose us in him when?
Before
the creation of the world. Being what?
Being holy.
Separated. And without blame. So that no matter what happens down in life, it has no bearing on what God did in eternity.
Hallelujah.
If I never get a new car, a raise on the job.
That's right.
If I never get part of my healing,
mm-hmm.
you remember Pastor Paul?
Mm-hmm.
You remember Pastor Paul?
Amen.
How many times he asked God? Three times, right?
Three.
Lord said, Paul, leave that thing alone.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to do more with the ailment than you ever could have done without the ailment. Because the enablement is not based upon how healthy you are. And I put that there also for a buffer because I gave you all this glorious revelation of the mystery.
Yeah.
And this is here to keep a check on your flesh.
That's right. That's right.
And so Paul said, I'll glory in this thing.
That's right.
That God did it. And I'm glad he did it. Because if that's the process of him keeping my flesh out of it, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And so he said, I glory in tribulations. And he goes on to speak about all of the different things. Remember, Paul had money until he met Jesus.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Had his health until he met Jesus. Yes, all through his life. Troubled everything. At times, hunger and thirst to this hour. A night and a day in the deep. Beat with 40 stripes, save one. All of these things. Thrown in prison. Why he's in prison? What happens? He's writing. He wrote Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians while they were plotting to kill him.
That's right.
Woo!
He was writing a book. Amen.
Hallelujah.
He was saying rejoice because he was focusing on the first chapter there of the spiritual blessings. Of the eternal blessings. For as that goes on, having been set position.
Yes, Lord.
Oh my God, in the third verse, huh? In the fifth verse. Son position. Adopted. Your Thessalon. Son position. And so he was saying, rejoice because he recognized that he was more in the body of Christ than he was in prison.
Sure enough. Sure enough. Thank you, Jesus.
Here he recognized the superiority of spirituality over physicality.
Hallelujah.
What is really real? What is really real? Now here's how it breaks down, and we'll get into this a little bit more this weekend. And I'm telling you right now, the majority of our presentations is dealing with teaching. Yeah, we're going to have some PowerPoints and some videos. Come prepared for teaching. Was made or prepared to Eros Remati Feru. So that which was prepared for the angels, that which is up on the mattress, that which you see, here we have the now Remati. Which is different from what's the other Greek word for word? Oh, y'all, come on now. I'm going to let you look it up. I'm not going to tell you.
Okay.
Nope, not going to do it. Anyway, Remate is translated what? Same. What is saying? What is saying? And here it's in the dative case, and Theru is in the genitive case. What's the genitive case? Ownership. Theru means what? God. It's a saying of God. The saying of God. man of God. Y'all haven't found logos yet?
No.
See, logos, yeah, that means word.
Right.
Rhematis. You know, somebody even started a big school in the movement talking about rhema. What is said? What is said by God? Who's the saying? God. So the things that were prepared according to what is said by God. Follow this closely now, because this is important. The actualized essence of everything is what is said by God. That's what is actualized. That's where it resides. That's where it is. That's the real deal. That's the only real deal. So here he goes on, says, "Is tomi ek phenomenon to the popmenon." And the last word there is yegoneni, which is translated happen or happening. For the sake of time, I'm just going, it's in the perfect tense. It's in the perfect tense.
Oh, yeah.
Brother Dicker, what's the perfect tense again? With what?
Ongoing
results. So it is because what?
It was.
In the same. And what this other thing is telling us, that the things in time will allow, the thing that you see, intimidated by the scientists. Mm-hmm. You know, the theory of evolution and all that. I've seen people go all into court and so forth. We're not going to do that. In the secular arena, if that's what they want to do, hey, knock yourself out. Does what man says or sees take away from what God has said?
No.
It doesn't add to it and doesn't take away from it. All right, give me 10 minutes. I'm going to bail out kind of early today, because we have a long week ahead of us. Let's go to bottom of page 93. We'll just run through this right quickly again. 11:3 states, according, "By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that the things men seen have not been made out of the things which appear." You see what we're saying now? You understand that? Your seeing doesn't cause the essence of what it is. The essence of what it is comes from the same. That word of God there, I took that out of the translation. Of course, we have just exegeted that. So, the understanding, that which faith causes us to understand, the faith that God has given us, that the universe or the world is not made, prepared, or completed it was made, compared, or completed by the saying of God, or what God said. And you know, they could have put a period there. But then it goes on and further explains, so that the things being seen are the things that we see. The matrix does not define the appearing of what it is. Again, it's not in the seeing.
No.
It's in the what?
Same.
It's in the same.
Amen.
Not even that's what the scientists see. As smart as Mr. Stephen Hawking, yes, you know, the scientist that's in the wheelchair, he just put out a paper said God didn't create the universe. That's so what? Who was he?
Robert.
If Einstein comes out, that came out while he was alive and said something, how many times did they go round and round with that theory of relativity, E=mc², and they're still debating it because they can't close the loop of the equation, because the one thing that you won't get to the when, where, when, how, and why without understanding causality. What is causality? What causes it?
Purpose.
Everybody say purpose.
Purpose.
And as long as they try to, through physicality, to make that thing come out, they're going to keep, the longer they talk, the dumber they get. Because what they came up with is that this universe came out of a parallel universe. And there must be millions of parallel universes.
Wow.
You know, I used to work for a fellow and say, if you can't solve the problem, then change it. That was years ago. We'd be designing the buildings and going through all the stresses of the buildings to design the columns and the beams, and we hit some angles and we run into some. He said, well, then, if you can't solve the problem, change it. And that's what they're trying to do. You won't get to singularity without source. Single source. And so you don't define or come to the comprehension of physicality through physicality. In fact, some of them try to define spirituality to physicality. Now, when God gives revelation, you can define physicality to spirituality. And it's one word, God. The saying of God. The saying of God. God said it. That's where it exists, how it exists, when it existed, and where it existed. In God's decree, in eternity.
Yes, sir.
And everything else is just the mirror testimony of it. And you see these reflections of things, and things are happening out here, and I see my time just about gone. The things are happening out here, and you're talking about, they talking about 2012, you get ready for a roller coaster ride in 2011. It's going to be awful. But not awful in the sense that we look at it and it blows us away. Or it shakes our confidence. As we see these things, it's not about what it is and what it's going to destroy. But Lord, amen, if I'm going to ask any question, what are you doing with this thing? What's your purpose? And he may not, he may tell us, and he may not. But even if he doesn't, do we trust him? Is God in control?
Yes, sir.
No matter what happens out there, is God in control?
He is.
You lose your job, is God still in control? You lose your health, is God still in control?
Yes, He is. Yes.
If the world blows up, say, "Oh, Pastor, you really we out there done." Is God still in control?
Yes.
Asking for the body, what?
Present with the Lord.
Present with the Lord.
Yes. Thank God.
That's what salvation means.
Yeah.
That you are safe and secure from all alarms. Not just a song we sing, but as we internalize this truth, we're settled down in our hearts that come what's may, He's real. Let me finish this one paragraph here and then we'll, oh my God. One of these days I'll get to preach about 3 or 4 hours. I did that for a fix, the word. And the devil fails. This verse conveys that faith in God and His word is the first step toward understanding what He has done. Romans chapter 1 verse 19 to 20 declares that there is an undeniable transition of knowledge between what God has made and who He is. In fact, the bond between what God created and knowledge of His eternal power and deity is so solid that those who reject it are without excuse. What are we saying? In testifying as to who they are as depraved creatures. And that's all they're doing when they deny it. In other words, there's no excuse for depravity and the workings of depravity. That's what we're saying there. And that's what that scripture is saying. That there is no excuse for depravity. Now, thus mankind does not reject God because of what He has created, but in spite of it. Because depraved nature is adverse to being subordinate to Him. They do not reject God because of evidence, but because they are totally depraved sinners. And as such, are in conformity to the God of this age. You know, Paul in Corinthians speaks of that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 4. Again, as we close, Hebrews 11, 1 states that faith is that which gives substance to future things, and they are only future in the sense that our manifestation has not caught up with the essence of the evidence and proof of that which is invisible. What's invisible, what Paul said, we're not looking at the things that are seen, but what?
Things that are unseen.
Why?
Things
that are seen, things that are seen or what?
Temporary.
What does temporary mean?
Not long.
The thing that is not seen is eternal. What does eternal mean? Oh, God, help us to prioritize the essence of what really is. So faith lends substance, undergirding, and support to one's new surrender understanding and comprehension of how God created the universe and how such functions. You can tie all the equations together. Purpose, God, testimony. Ultimately leading to His glory. The Greek phrase "datus eonos" is rendered the universe, our ages, our worlds. Here we are stuck in universe. It's the best equivalent of Hebrews 1 and 2. The Greek infinitive, what's an infinitive again? Verb noun. As we've gone over this, rendered was actually, the essence of that is was, it is, created, conveys being created. Was created, conveys being created. It is because what?
It was.
It was. So it's being fitted, not just God not doing this every day now. Fitted, prepared, and perfected. It's already perfect. Hence, faith exudes understanding that the visible universe was not created out of visible elements and matter, but it was materialized what? According to God's invisible word. Again, as we go into the conference, everybody repeat after me. It's about what God has said.
It's about what God has said.
Not what we see.
Not what we see.
See you in the conference. God bless you.